The following is a Castwave Studios production.
Welcome, welcome everyone once again to Impromptu Who. My name is Colin Kakamas, and with me today is a guest host, but no less a Who fan, Zach Patterson. Zach, how are you doing?
Hi, how are we doing?
We're doing good.
That's still the best intro music ever.
I know, you know what? I'll endlessly be thanking the Australian band Lord, not the singer Lord, but the Australian band Lord for not only creating that theme, but actually giving us the permission to use that.
It's awfully baller of them. I'd love to thank them in person, but I can never go to Australia because there's spiders down there.
There's spiders everywhere, Zach.
Yes, but they're big and they kill you.
Spiders here can kill you, but you know, I don't think we really need to talk about spiders unless it's, you know, the spiders from Mars.
Oh, I didn't like those either.
But they're a great band.
Oh, I thought you were talking about on Doctor Who. Oh, they weren't on Mars. They were on the moon.
To be perfectly honest, there was a lot of spider-based life form.
Were an awful lot of spiders.
I mean, just because, you know, there's one, if anything, there's one truth throughout time and space, and that's arachnids are freaking creepy.
It's not fair, and they're everywhere.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I remember, the David Tennant Christmas special where the antagonist was the giant spider lady.
Oh, Jesus.
And even before they showed
The Rachnos.
The Rachnos.
The Rachnos.
And even before they showed her, they just showed the ship and the throne from behind, and you just saw the legs, and I was like, that's a goddamn spider.
It's like crabs. It was like a crab spider.
Yep. I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated that.
So we haven't done an episode in a while, and there's a couple of different reasons. I think we might have touched on those in like the last episode we did, which was a couple months ago. But Brian and I were gearing up to do this huge undertaking, and we were sort of going off of the patterns of shows we had just recently started, like Batcast 66 and what was the other one? The other one, Prime Directive.
Prime Directive, yes.
Both that Brian participates on and Sean participates on.
Mm.
And the idea was that they were going through every single episode of those series, you know, episode by episode, reviewing them, giving their, you know, what they liked, what they didn't like, right?
Yeah.
And so Brian and I thought, you know what? Why don't we do that for Doctor Who?
That's a good idea. Make it a supplemental.
It's a great idea. Oh. But a couple problems. About, I believe, 90-plus episodes from the original run of Doctor Who, 63
through
89.
Oh, I'm sorry. You meant from the beginning. I thought you meant as they aired.
No, a much better idea. I meant from the beginning, but, you know, the idea was to, well, yeah. So, and for those who are in the know when it comes to Doctor Who, 90-plus episodes are missing from the original run of Doctor Who, like portions of Hartnell's run, majority of, you know,
Pertwee?
Patrick Troughton's run.
Oh, oops.
I think they still have all of Pertwee's run is still intact, if memory serves. But, yeah, so most of Patrick Troughton's run is lost to the ages. They've luckily enough been able to find some into some random-ass countries. But, you know, it's a bummer because it means that, you know, a large chunk of, you know, what was television history is now basically lost to the cosmic winds.
Gone forever.
Ugh. Yeah, that's solid, solid business strategy of BBC. Hey, we're done with this tape. Toss it. Or, I'm sorry, record over. We need to record over. We got to save money. You know, God knows we can't make more magnetic tape.
What was the BBC back in the day?
They
had to find money.
Ugh.
This is pre-Planet Earth BBC.
I know, but, you know, it's just like, you know, what if Doctor Who had started in, you know, had started in the 2000s and, you know, had such a rich tapestry, you know, they had the money to back it up. What could we have had?
Yeah.
Anyway, so speaking of Doctor Who, a couple of business. speaking of Doctor Who on the Doctor Who podcast. So one of the things I'm excited about is, have you ever read any of the Doctor Who books, you know, outside of, you know, the series?
Just comics.
Just comics?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you, so are you, you know, it's you and I have never really had this talk. Are you more?
I'm not a virgin.
Okay.
Oh, other talk. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Could be the same talk now.
Okay.
Are you strictly just a new Who guy?
Or, yes.
Okay. Have you watched any of the old stuff though?
I watched the movie with Paul McGann.
Get out. No, I'm just kidding. No, come back. Eric Roberts turns into a giant snake.
Hey, listen.
No. Don't you fucking defend that.
I'm not defending it. I just wanted to watch it because.
Okay, no, it's fine.
And cause... I watched a little bit of Seven.
Okay. All right.
I just haven't gone much further back than that.
Okay, so.
So I'm very new Who.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the character Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart?
No.
Okay, so he was one of these. I don't necessarily want to call him a companion. He was sort of like an ally. He was an ally. He was the military liaison from like Second Doctor through the end of the series. So, kind of a big deal. Like he was very integral in the Second Doctor, Third Doctor, Fourth Doctor, because
they reference him a lot in the new one, don't they?
Right. They
was
do.
Was he a Cyberman? In the 12th Doctor at the end of the season?
Yes, that's him.
That's who that is.
Yeah, it's okay. Kate Stewart's father.
Got it. Okay, right? When he's like, oh, of course you're here. Where else would you be? And it's right. Just that one last Cyberman. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That explains so much.
Okay, yeah. So if you ever get a chance, go back and watch one of the episodes with him. Because he's like very like English colonel. Like, did you ever see Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah.
He's very much like Peter Sellers, yeah, you know, attaché.
Okay.
You know, he's like very prim, very proper, you know, always by procedure, but he's always ready to like go fuck shit up.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, he was definitely like a huge part of the Third Doctor's tenure. Cause like the Third Doctor was basically stranded on Earth. So he was working for UNIT.
Okay.
So yeah. And he was, and basically, Lethbridge Stewart was running UNIT at the time. So what's great about that is, so obviously the books, you know, create this rich tapestry to build more on the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually making a series of Lethbridge Stewart books. Now, I mean, they've already written books strictly based on him, but now they're actually going back even further and building on members of his family and how we got to Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart. And actually, part of that will come back in later on, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So I just thought that was cool. They're going to be doing – so here we are. So Candy Jar Books is doing it. It's going to go from the Lethbridge Stewart family from the 1600s onward. So, I mean, I figure, you know, there'll be some, you know, running with the Roundheads, you know, around Cromwell's time. You know, that'd be interesting, I think. I mean, it's always good to see them go back to historical fiction.
Yeah.
Because that was always like one of the key points about the early series is that they wanted to, you know, make it sort of, here, children, you can watch this sci-fi program, but you can also learn about these past periods. Isn't it interesting? And, you know, it worked somewhat.
Somewhat.
All right. So one thing we didn't get to talk about on our last episode because it hadn't happened yet was the BBC has announced the new Doctor. And the new Doctor is actually – there actually is, you know – film screen time of the new Doctor. It's Jodie Whittaker.
Yep, there's an ad and then there's something else we'll get into in a little bit.
Yes, so okay, I gotta ask you a question.
Hmm.
When you heard that Doctor Who was becoming a woman, what'd you think?
Oh, I'm fine with it. I don't care. The Doctor can be anyone.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Like, yep. I can't lie. I'm very traditional when it comes to, like, James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they did a girl version of 007, I'd probably be kind of unhappy. But that's just me personally. Doctor Who, no way in hell. Doctor Who, you can do whatever you want.
Right, and I think...
And it was like, when they showed the ad, the reveal ad, when they showed who the new Doctor was going to be, like, as soon as she walked up to the TARDIS and took her hood down and, like, looked up and smiled, I was like, yeah, she's the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She already has the vibe.
I mean, here's what I love about it. I don't know about you, but I saw that outfit she was wearing, and I'm like, Is she, like, paying homage to Robin Williams in the 1980s? That is totally Mork from Mork.
I think what they're trying to say there is because he's never been a woman, or because the doctor's never been a woman, the doctor doesn't know how to dress like one. So he probably, like, runs, or she probably runs through the closet and is just like, oh, I don't know, and just walks out looking like that.
Fair enough. No, that's a point.
That will be a funny scene if that's how that goes down.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've seen the doctor just, like, randomly pick out random-ass uniforms before. I mean,
That was, like, Eleven's best thing.
Well, that was, I mean, Eleven did it, 10 did it, yeah. 5 did it. Jesus Christ, there was like the first 20 minutes of Fourth Doctor's first run was him just
going
random
berserk.
Costume changes, yeah. Which I loved. It was great.
Good old Tom Baker.
But yeah, I'm actually really excited about this because I saw Jodie Whittaker first in Broadchurch.
Which is awesome, by the way.
She was fucking amazing in Broadchurch. Oh, my God.
That whole show is amazing.
Yeah, seriously. If you haven't seen it, like, it's on Netflix. Go
watch that. And while you're at it, watch literally everything that David Tennant has ever done.
Yes. Also true. So, I mean, obviously I'm excited about that. And I will say this much. Like, the whole, like, divisive arguments, like, Doctor Who's becoming a woman? The feminists are taking over.
Oh, for like, fuck's sake.
I was like, really? Come on.
People are going to bitch about everything.
I know.
You know that we're going to get some, like, some folks that sleep with their cousins that are going to start talking shit on Black Panther when that comes out, et cetera, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, no,
there's always going to be haters and whiners and racists and chauvinists, unfortunately.
I just remember the last time somebody was, you know, like, talking that much shit about it was when the Ghostbusters reboot happened.
That deserves trash talk. But not for those reasons.
Yeah, but I will say this much. There's this one Vine that always cracked me up about it.
Mm.
Just some random, you know, some random mouth breather was like, like four female Ghostbusters? The feminists are taking over. And then the Ghostbusters theme kicks in. He's like, I'm an adult virgin. I'm like, yay. Just
that's fantastic.
Label everyone under that subsection. Anyway. But no, Jodie Whittaker is a great actress, and mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what they do with her. And again, we're going to go more into her first appearance.
I'm excited about her, but I'm really excited that Walsh is going to be one of her companions. The guy from, I just lost the name of the game show. The Chase.
Nice.
He's hilarious.
Nice. Okay. So, I mean, I was excited about that. So, obviously, this leads us into the our main, you know, meat and potatoes of this episode, which is we're going to discuss the Doctor Who Christmas special, Twice Upon a Time.
Which was awesome.
Oh, it's great. Oh, my God. I can't.
God, it was like an apology for the entire last season.
Wow, you really didn't like the last
season. It wasn't good.
I mean,
the season before was 10,000 times better.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
This season was, okay, I won't even be mean. It's lackluster.
Okay, there. That's a better way of saying it. So he's done better. I mean.
No, it's not even Capaldi's fault. It's what's his name's? The guy that's stepping down.
Oh,
Who, no offense, but I've wanted him to stop doing Who for a while now and let somebody else do it.
It's.
Not Russell T. Davis, but the other guy.
Oh, God. Why can't we remember his name?
Oh, I've got every name but him, and I've lost it.
Well, it's probably better that way.
That's so terrible.
No, it is. Oh, jeez. Moffat.
That's it.
Okay.
Moffat.
Jesus. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Brain fart.
The man who creates plot lines and never finishes them. It's true.
He did in this episode.
Hey, is that a crack in the wall? I only ask because that never got closed up.
Yeah, it did.
Hardly. It kept coming back.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway, okay. So, obviously, I mean, it's Twice Upon a Time. So, when we left the Doctor in the final episode of the last series.
Which was very meh, by the way.
He was wandering around in the Arctic wastes of the South Pole.
Refusing to regenerate.
Yeah, because he was just like, meh, I've lost everybody. I was like, that's kind of your deal, bro. You are literally an immortal.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes. You've dealt with this fucking crisis so many times. I don't understand why you're just being so nihilistically emo now.
Well, what was so brutal about that scene was right when he started to change, he started saying all the lines that he said when he changed before. Like, as soon as he said, I don't want to go, I was just like, oh, you bastards.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, they just want to basically that was also an issue because rehashing the past is I think anything this you take away from this episode, it's basically rehashing the past.
Yeah.
There's so many. I mean, And honestly, when you do these regeneration episodes, that's what it is. They call back to everything that happened before.
Mm-hmm.
11 was guilty of it. 10 was guilty of it. 9, not so much.
10 could have been a great regeneration at the end if they didn't spend half an hour of him wandering around saying goodbye to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was so weak. So by the time he finally gets back to the TARDIS, you're like, oh, finally.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it loses something there.
And I honestly would say my biggest issue with, like, 11's regeneration was just it would have been beautiful had they just left Amy out of it.
Oh, I loved that.
Really?
Oh, I loved that.
I don't know. Maybe it was just I felt like her departure in her final episode was just great the way it was. I didn't feel like they needed to bring her back just to be like, okay,
it was what he said. It was the first face that this face saw, and it was like a nice little throwback to when he first. And his whole story arc was built around meeting her and the fact that all the crap happened because of where she lived
now,
and all this stuff.
I should specify that part of my dislike of that scene was that I was never really too keen on Karen Gillan
as a companion. How can you not? Oh man, they're two of the best. I love them. And Rory?
Well, first of all, let me phrase that better, okay? I love Rory. That dude rocks. I hate Amy. I hate her so much.
How?
Okay, I'm sorry. She spends like
I'm listening. I'm not going to argue with you.
She spends like the first half of her time with the doctor doing that whole will they won't they bullshit. About how it's like, ooh, the doctor, he's so charming and handsome and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, meanwhile, Rory, a person she has known for fucking ever, you know?
Rory, also known as Mickey Jr.
Oh, son, that's a very apt description, actually.
It's only like, he's already engaged. Like, he got there and still can't score.
No. But, like, I think it was, what was it, the Dalek prison episode?
Yes,
yeah.
The Asylum.
Yeah, the asylum
of the Daleks.
The Asylum of the Daleks. Oh, my God. That episode was like the nadir of how much I loathe Amy Pond. I really do. I mean, let me put it this way. I'm just saying. It's just like the whole time it's like, you know, they're getting divorced and it's awful. And it's just like Rory. And finally at the end, it's just like they have to sacrifice themselves and Rory's going to do it because Rory always fucking does it. And he's just like, you know, it's fine. You know, I love you more anyway. You know, I know you don't feel the same way. And she's like, how dare you? How dare you say that to me? I'm like, he waited for 2,000 fucking years and dragged you around in a box. You would never do that. Her character, I mean, I'm sorry, it's just there have been multiple times where it's like been shown that, yeah, she loves Rory, but I think it's only after she figures that her and the doctor's not going to work.
Mm.
That's what it seemed like to me. It's like she tried getting with the doctor. It didn't look like it was ever going to work out. So she's just like, oh, Rory's here. Rory's nice. Okay, I'll just settle for him.
I feel like that's a little excessive.
I don't know.
Just a little excessive.
I don't know. Go back and watch those episodes and, like, really just look at – I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted to like the both of them because they're intertwined. You can't have one without the other. I know that.
Well, who's your favorite companion then if she's your least favorite? Is it Rory? My favorite's Donna Noble.
Donna's good.
Donna's fantastic.
Donna's good.
You're not going to believe who I hate the most. Well, why don't you take a guess? Who do you think I hate as the Doctor's companion? Who does Zach hate the most? Let's see how he does here, ladies and gentlemen.
K-9.
Oh, hell no. How can you hate K-9?
I don't hate K-9. I love K-9.
No.
I'm just saying.
K-9's awesome. No,
I'm just saying, you know, for you, you seem like a realist, so I'm like robot dog, maybe not your thing.
New Who, since 9.
Oh, well, he was in New Who.
Yeah, but only for a second. That doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah. Strictly just in New Who, or were they an old Who came into New Who?
All right. New Who. He'll get this. He'll get this, because whenever I say it, everybody goes, how can you hate this person?
Rose Tyler?
Yep. She sucks.
I don't know.
She sucks.
I wouldn't say...
God, she's awful. She's awful.
I mean, again, there
Poor
are...
Poor Mickey.
There are certain elements of her character that I dislike as well.
Oh, I hate her.
Don't get me wrong.
And I hate Martha.
Really?
Yeah, she's terrible.
Was it just because her whole experience, like she was, you know, setting up to be this intelligent, you know, character that could sort of match wits with the doctor, and they just turned her into a lovesick puppy for
that's
the entire...
That's exactly what the problem is.
Right.
Also, and you get to the end, and you're just like, you'll never look at me the way that I look at you. And I'm like, get the fuck out. You're done. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Oh, God. I remember when they did that, the weakest link episode.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was
I thought it was dope.
No, but it was good. I'm not.
Nah, my favorite companion is Donna. She's amazing. But I hate Rose. Donna's... I can't even explain why I hate Rose. I just hate Rose.
It's just, it's like, there's just something. There's just something there.
Yeah. Donna is the best companion. Fact.
I would say out of New Who, oh, God, that's a tough one. Because there's a lot of good characters in New Who. I know this is probably going to sound like a cop-out, but Captain Jack Harkness, probably.
Oh, wait, favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. That's
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Barrowman is... Barrowman
is... About to be like, Barrowman, you can't do that to
no,
him.
No. Barrowman is straight up awesome.
Oh, God, he fucking rules.
Okay, so there's a couple... I'm going to go with sort of the scoring system that I got behind... They have behind the other shows. Prime Directive and Batcast. So okay. I got categories. So we're going to start with plot.
Of just this episode?
Yeah, just this episode.
Twice Upon a Time?
Twice Upon a Time. Okay, so I really do like the plot of this episode because they're not too keen on going back beyond, like, back into the original era Doctors.
Yes.
I mean, the only reason they did John Hurt was because they couldn't get Christopher Eccleston. That was the only reason why John Hurt's character was created.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Because when Christopher Eccleston's character was originally made as the Ninth Doctor, Christopher Eccleston was supposed to be the War Doctor. There wasn't supposed to be...
Oh.
It was as soon as McGann regenerated, it was supposed to be Eccleston. They tried getting Eccleston. Eccleston just was like, no, I'm done with that part of my life. I don't want to do it. So they had to basically come up with a character that came between McGann and Eccleston.
Okay.
And that's John Hurt. But I feel like they did an amazing job with John Hurt's character. I wish they could have done more.
Yeah.
Wish they could have done more, but...
I hate to say it, but I think it was a mistake to make him the Ninth Doctor.
Who? Eccleston?
Yeah. I think if things had been different back then, we would have been a little more... I think it would have run longer, and I think you would have gotten the 50th anniversary special where the Ninth Doctor was supposed to be the War Doctor and all that stuff.
But here's the thing. I love Eccleston's performance. After watching it, I really couldn't think of another person.
Yeah, that's fair.
Who could have done it and made it work.
Yeah.
Maybe that can be a topic for another episode.
Of course,
to be
awesome. Yeah.
But I mean, what I love about this plot is they not only are going back, but they're going back to the beginning. I mean,
yeah, that opening where they showed Hartnell talking and it transformed into.
I know,
oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Good. And David Bradley is amazing in this episode.
Dude, he killed it.
I know.
It was amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
When it turned into him and he kept talking and it was just like, shit.
Yeah. I'm not. Okay, so I have to ask the question. So you've seen the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's a point where. Bradley and Capaldi arrive at the main villain's location.
Lair.
Yeah, their lair. Yeah, there you go. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the location below the World's End Tavern that all the aliens were popping out of.
Yes,
it was very reminiscent of that. But I remember when they said, you know, they were bringing back one of his companions, and for a moment, I mean, I know they said that Bill was coming back in this episode. Okay, but I want to make something plain. When I first saw that scene, I didn't think it was Bill. I thought they were gonna double down, and like they brought back the First Doctor. I thought they were gonna bring back Susan, and I was like,
oh my goodness,
oh holy shit, are we gonna do this?
That would have been hardcore.
It would have been amazing, but they brought back Bill. And okay, fine.
Really, if it had been anybody but Bill, I would have been so happy.
I know, but the thing is, they weren't going to bring back Clara. They didn't. There's no fucking way they would have done it.
Oh no.
I know there's
no logical way to do it. I just hate Bill.
That's okay. That's your thing. That's your thing.
Sorry.
You do you. But I remember like fanboying out about that, and then it was Bill, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. They gotta make the stakes for Capaldi to wanna be involved, and obviously,
yeah.
Bringing back his recently deceased companion is probably the best way possible to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say some elements of the plot seemed phoned in. For instance, again, I thought the fact that they were hitting like chunks of like the last two seasons, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just combining all these plot threads together to make everything, it did, just tie
it,
everything
it got
off.
A little messy.
Like Rusty coming back.
No, I love that. I mean, he's one of my all-time favorite Doctor Who things
ever. That's
what
I'm saying. I thought Rusty's impact was great because they used him so sparingly. They used him once. I thought he was perfect. I thought...
Yeah, but twice ain't so bad. And he wanted to kill him when he saw him. That was great.
Okay, but again, he's like, oh, I want to kill the Doctor, and I want to kill every Dalek. I'm just like, well, then you're no better than either, and thus, by the same logic, you should kill yourself.
Well, he's still a Dalek. They're not smart. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but, you know, it's how it's it makes sense.
Okay, fine. You want to think it makes sense.
I can't. I'm biased, though, because I love the Daleks, and I want them to win. They're awesome. They're like killer R2-D2s.
Yeah, they're killer R2-D2s with little, like, Metroids in them.
Which is awesome.
I'm not arguing that.
I root for bad guys a lot, even though I'm not supposed to.
No, to be fair, I honestly, the Daleks are probably some of my favorite sci-fi villains.
God, they're awesome.
They're roaming mini tanks. I mean, how can you not love roaming mini tanks?
And they can fly.
Yeah. They well, hover.
They flew like hell in that one episode. Came out of the
okay, that's
the,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like it seemed like, again, the Christmas special, with it being a regeneration episode, just seemed like, oh, we've got all these throwbacks, we've got all these loose plot threads, we gotta kinda tie together in a nice little bow to make this shit work.
That's the Moffat special.
the Moffat.
Am I wrong?
No. I mean, Russell T. Davies wasn't much better about it, but...
He knew how to end his stories.
Yeah, by taking a half-hour montage. It's like the end of The Return of the King.
He only did that one time, and it was just...
Once was enough!
People. Yeah, but it's still not as bad as Moffat. Mm. Moffat created a TARDIS clone that was a flying diner. Which is awful.
I mean,
and the chick from Game of Thrones is flying around with the Clara clone somewhere out there.
Okay.
Which is awful.
Well, it's not Clara's clone. It's Clara at the time of her death. She's been plucked from the time. I don't have time to explain that. There's too much to back up.
Where's Barry Allen when you need him?
Duh. Not even Barry Allen can unweave that time. That time not bullshit. I know, it's so bad.
But right, no, I do agree with you. I think as far as story gets a 4 out of 5. It was pretty good.
It's out of 20, so what would you say?
For story? Story?
I mean, the story is great. I mean, basically it's...
15.
Yeah, it's like, so the doctors, you know, they basically... There's some interdimensional crisis that they're causing because they're both being stubborn pricks. They don't want to regenerate because, you know...
Oh, of course.
Life is hard. Life is hard. Life is pain. I've lost everyone I know. Meh.
Price of immortality.
Yeah.
No such thing as a free lunch. Well, let's not make fun of...
That's a violin, Zach. I'm just saying.
I'll go 15.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying
it was really good.
I'm not saying it's a bad story. I would say it would rank higher.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that this current season had been rather lackluster. So mm-hmm. I thought that this was definitely a recovery moment.
Yeah. So, okay. I'll go with that. I'd give it a 15.
Yeah.
Because I would say it'd be a 19 or a 20 if they hadn't just ham-fisted in so many callbacks.
Yeah, and as much as I was happy to see Clara for a second, but the fact that she just kind of popped up as a memory real quick and was like, and don't you forget me this time, and I was like...
He's like, oh, I have my memories back. It's like, okay. I thought something bad would happen if that happened. Wasn't that like the whole point of...
That was the whole point.
Wiping your memories in the first... Okay, whatever.
It's Moffat madness!
Moffat madness! Oh, that's an episode title. Yes, Moffat madness. Da, 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 da. All right, so characters.
Moffat's a whack job.
So characters, I want to talk about the captain.
Oh, Mark Gatiss.
Mark Gatiss.
Mycroft.
I mean, so many things. Okay, so obviously the episode, obviously around the two doctors, but also with Gatiss's character, who, by the way.
That was World War One, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, so. I want to go on record with something here. This is probably one of the other elements of this episode that I loved, Gaddis's performance. I truly
God, he
did.
Killed it.
He was amazing.
He
I
killed
would,
it.
I mean, if he had been like a companion character for the rest of like that could be.
Oh, yeah.
If
I
he
know.
Had been that season's next companion character, I would have been like, it's perfect.
Oh, him with Jodie Whittaker? That
exactly.
Would have been dope.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Lost opportunity a little bit there.
A little bit, but then the episode, the end of the episode happened,
and it was awesome.
And then we found out his origin.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuckers.
That's why he's only credited. I even have it on IMDb here. They just called him the captain.
Yes, because let's be honest here. You look at him and you're like, he's a Lethbridge Stewart.
Of course. You knew that was coming. You had to know that was coming.
I know. But here's the thing. Okay, so I thought if they were going to make him a Lethbridge Stewart, they would have been like, 10 minutes in, like the first time he shows up, he would have announced his name and they would have been like, oh,
would have said something.
Okay, fine. They would have, but it kept going and going and going. And I thought it was weird that they never asked his name. They never did. They just, he randomly shows up and normally they're like, what's your name? What's your name? I'm trying to calm you down. What's your name? Right? But they didn't do that.
Yeah, they did. They were, it was like, always like, you keep an eye on the captain.
Right. And I was just like, okay. So I was like, okay, maybe they might not go that route. And then as the longer and longer it went and they didn't get his name
there. You knew something was coming.
I knew something was coming, but I was like, I was less likely thinking that he was going to be a Lethbridge Stewart. I thought it was just going to be he's a new character or maybe he's another character's distant relative or something, right? I didn't.
Yeah.
But at the end, they announce he's like, oh, I'm blank blank. I'm Amish Lethbridge Stewart or something like that, right?
And just, everybody goes.
And Capaldi's got that goofy, like, what? What? You are? And I'm just like, ugh. Fuck.
You would have had it reveal a little sooner.
I just felt it would have. It wouldn't have. Like, I feel like the impact would have been. Like, had that been, like, the mid-arc climax, you know, when they were like, oh, we are, you know, we've, you know, like, right as the Bill clone was going to take him back, and she was like, what is your name, blah, 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 I'm Amish Lethbridge Stewart, blah, and reveal it there.
Yeah.
I felt it would have had more impact, you know, because the Doctor wouldn't have known. He still would have done his best to save the captain, but,
yeah.
Like, you know, it was just, I just felt it was unnecessary to make him a Lethbridge Stewart. Maybe that's just me.
It felt kind of ham-handed.
Yeah, I mean, did they not think that the character would have been enough on his own had it just been, oh, he's a British captain who just randomly was plucked out of the time stream and put in, you know, that point.
Yeah.
I felt that would have been fine the way it was, but apparently they disagree. I mean, there weren't really many other characters that were sort of new when it came to this episode. I mean, there was...
Well, you can't ignore...
Potts, there was the...
The performance for the First Doctor.
Oh, no, David Bradley...
Technically...
David Bradley, okay, so...
A new character. Technically.
Technically speaking...
Yeah, technically.
No, because he was in the Doctor Who biopic.
That was like 7 minutes or something like that, though.
No, that was like a full-on movie. An Adventure in Time and Space.
Oh!
The movie about the making of Doctor Who.
Oh, I forgot.
Because David Bradley played William Hartnell.
I forgot.
Yeah, no, but no, it's fine. So, obviously, I'm sorry. So, obviously, David Bradley as William Hartnell, William as the First Doctor, he was amazing. Mannerisms were down pat. I mean...
The best thing about this episode was when he'd say something inappropriate and old-timey and 12 would turn around and set him straight.
Oh,
that
God.
Was so funny!
Oh,
anytime he says
they walk
something
in,
about women and 12 just turns and was like, fucking excuse me.
They walk into the TARDIS and it's like, no more swearing or I'll give you a right smack on the bottom. And Capaldi's just like, can we please just never like talk about this ever again? Please just never again. No.
And he says something about women and Capaldi's just like,
Oh, I thought Bill was going to smack a bitch.
Oh, that also could have been pretty funny.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, it could have been pretty good.
Because, of course, you know, because obviously both Bradley and Gaddis were, you know, characters from an earlier bygone age where women didn't, you know, have as many rights or women, you know, women's opinions weren't taken.
It wasn't the best time in our history.
No.
Yes.
I mean, still is it. But it's a different time.
Yes.
Well, we'll say that. It was a different time. But still, it's just like, you know, you kind of put that in the modern era, and it's just like, oh, hi, it's uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable.
Just a smidge.
Ugh. But no, so Bradley's performance was amazing. Mark Gatiss was great. I would love to see either of those two characters come back in future episodes.
Yes.
I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I want to see more classic Doctors come back. Prime example, Sean Pertwee on Gotham is the fucking spitting image of his father.
Yes.
Like, I mean, Bradley is a very close facsimile to William Hartnell. Mm. Very close. I mean, you know, a little bit more.
We're talking like within the 91st percentile.
Yeah.
He's close.
Like, we're talking like you put him in a wig, you know, maybe, you know, put his cheeks in a little bit to make him a little more gaunt.
Yeah.
And we're talking like you could swap him out. You wouldn't have to do that thing where you sort of merge him in with the archived footage. It would be like
seamless.
He
almost
was,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you might have to fuck around with the voice a little bit, but not much.
No.
Not we'd much.
Have to go berserk.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, so characters out of 10, where would you say they rate on characters? I'd actually go like a 9 or 10.
I'd go nine.
I mean, I feel like maybe if they'd brought another companion back besides Bill, you know, make the stakes a little higher. Like,
I'm going to let him say that.
Whatever.
Because you guys already know that I hate Bill.
I'm just saying, I don't hate Bill's character. I'm just saying that I felt had Clara come back instead of Bill, I felt like the stakes would have been way more up.
And then you wouldn't have to do the memory thing, because for a minute there, it would have been that Peter Capaldi didn't know her.
Exactly.
Which would have been fucked.
Yeah. And then it would have been like, oh, they restored his memories, and oh, shit, that's our interdimensional crisis. That would have been equally as good.
Just want to let the BBC know that Colin and I are available to write episodes, you know, now that Moffat's departing.
Yeah, if Chibnall doesn't work out, you know, we're free.
Yeah, we got nothing better to do. Yeah. I mean, I can pencil something in.
Yeah, there you go. I can pencil in a date if you want to bring us in for an interview. Anyway, so special effects. Okay, so what?
Sorry. I always giggle when I think special effects, because I think about, like, back in the day when he's
the
wandering
string
through
on the thing.
Yeah, or wandering through a cave and the wall moves when you push on it.
The gravel quarries.
Yeah.
The endless gravel quarries. Ugh. Okay, so.
Or the green farty people from the Nine era.
I mean, no. I mean, they have been, oh, green farts. You want to talk about green farts? Charlie X.
Yeah.
From the original Star Trek. Wow. Okay, so. What was great about this episode's special effects, the glass people were pretty legit.
The glass people were legit.
I don't – what were their names? I don't remember.
Sorry, I only watched it once.
Oh, jeez.
And then also watching those weird – they were almost like spirit Daleks, the things that Rusty was destroying. That was also pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And even though – I mean, it's not just special effects, but when they explained to William Hartnell who he was –
Yeah.
The first doctor.
The first doctor, yeah.
And they do that whole, like, and they start listing the names, and you see, like, those golden bubbles fly around with all the other doctors' faces in them. And saying things like, you know, he was the wolf of Trenzalore. They said all sorts of
the
crazy
testimony,
shit.
That's what it was. The testimony.
The testimony.
Yeah. And I thought the testimony was a cool idea.
Yeah.
I wish it had not just been a throwaway for one episode.
Like, it could have been a lasting thing,
which is
ironic because that's all Moffat can do. I'm sorry, am I being too unfair?
No, it's fine. You know what? I'm not. You know what? Everybody's got different opinions on Doctor Who.
And I'm a noob. I'm fairly uneducated, so maybe my opinion.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't. Some of your opinions, I'm not disagreeing with necessarily. Just don't throw any flaming bottles at our house. Our house, please, just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't, and you can leave comments, but 9 out of 10, I'm just going to ignore it, so.
I won't.
Yeah, you're always itching for a fight.
Why can't it be a fight? Why does it have to be a debate? I say something, people get mad, and then I defend myself.
That's
what happens 90% of the time.
All right, so, I mean, the sort of kaleidoscope of his future selves. You know,
that was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
And all those awesome, like, names.
Yeah. I mean, but for special effects, there really wasn't anything else that was crazy there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a pretty – I mean, again, I don't want to use the term because it was a good episode, but lackluster in the special effects department maybe?
Especially at the end, which we haven't discussed yet, but we'll get there.
Well, we'll get there, and I feel like
– You know what I'm talking about.
Well –
We're talking – the very, very, very end, the special effects were lacking.
Yeah.
Big time. It looked terrible when things happened.
Yeah. When things happened.
We're saving it till the end. We know how this works.
Yep. All right. So out of 10, what
9.
Would you – you'd rate the special effects at a 9?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Characters was 9.
Characters
out
was 9,
yeah.
Out of 10,
I'd give the special effects probably like a 6.
Yeah.
There weren't that many.
I'd say 5 or 6. I'd say 5. I'd say a 5. I mean, nothing to, you know –
Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about. And honestly, the ending, there's a little lackluster, and like you could see the seams, and you really shouldn't.
Oh boy, could you?
You really shouldn't at this point in the game.
No, it's 2018.
The settings. Okay, so we've got all different sorts of places going on. We've got 1914 France. We've got the planet Villengard, where Rusty's fucking shit up.
Which was magnificent. I love that part.
You know, you got the testimony. And again, we specified, like, that was sort of reminiscent of the World's End chamber, like the alien chamber where all the blank copies were being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all these settings, and I feel like, you know, that was pretty good, especially for, you know, an episode – again, a single point episode. There was a lot of shit going on.
Mm.
Like, normally in a Doctor Who episode, they maybe go to, like, 1-2 places, nothing crazy. There were like 3, 4, 5 places. And I'm sorry, but I want to go on record and say this. I love the First Doctor's TARDIS.
Oh, how can you not?
It's
cool.
It's like if Apple built a TARDIS.
Oh, because it's white.
Yeah, because the white and the simplicity.
I was going to say it wouldn't be like if Apple made a TARDIS because his TARDIS worked.
Yeah. The TARDIS worked. It's just, you know, it wasn't necessarily user friendly enough for him.
Oh, maybe it was like an Apple then. I don't know. I don't hate it though. So
no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. No, but I love the I love the different like changes in the TARDIS. You know, they have 12's TARDIS. They have 1's TARDIS. So it was enjoyable.
I like seeing them both from the outside, how they made the first one like a little smaller, and it was like a different color.
Yeah, no, it's they made the model like it was back
in
the
start,
day.
And they touch on it a little bit. They're
like,
talking
about
it. How
come the windows are different? Is it smaller?
That's a great moment.
Yeah, it's really good.
The interactions between 1 and 12 were just gold.
He's like, why am I wearing these indoors? It's like, because I like them on you. Never take them off.
What's browsing history?
What's browser history?
No. That was a wonderful moment.
Capaldi's a dirty old man.
I was also hoping that he was going to break them or something, because I'm going to go on record and say that the Sonic sunglasses were the absolute dumbest thing in Doctor Who history.
I've seen dumber, but it's...
me, as a noob, knows, use a goddamn screwdriver. Okay, that's a staple. Not shades that look like he got them at Walmart. That was embarrassing.
I mean, again, it was the whole aesthetic of he was trying to be, ooh, I'm a rock star.
Well, then make a cool rock star. I'm having a midlife crisis Sonic screwdriver.
Okay, that's a point. I mean, they,
not $2 sunglasses.
Well,
I know it's the
to
BBC
be fair,
and all, but shit.
To be fair, they did. They gave him a new Sonic screwdriver.
Eventually.
Yeah.
At the end of the season. I'm just saying.
Don't look at me. I didn't write it. Again, BBC. I'm available. Let's talk. All right. So out of 20, what would you rate settings at? I'd actually put it up there. I put it at like 18.
Oh, hell yeah.
18, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it moved around. It kept everything interesting.
It was moving around. It kept it at a brisk enough pace that we weren't getting bored of any one particular
That's exactly
setting.
What I was about to say. It was one of the only episodes this season where I didn't get bored. I'm not even trying to be mean.
No.
The very first episode with the superhero was amazing.
Oh, the Return of Dr. Mysterio.
Yes, and then this episode was also great. In the middle, there was a lot of boredom.
Mm.
And the two-part finale with the Master was a huge letdown.
I mean, how do you fuck up bringing back John Sim?
I know. I was so excited because I only have seen New Who and I love him.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be something amazing and sinister and awesome, and they blew it.
I will say this much. John Sim is probably my favorite version of the Master.
Oh, God, he's awesome. Although Missy's dope.
No, Michelle Gonzalez. Michelle Gomez.
Gonzalez.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm having a brain fart. I'm running on like 2 hours of sleep.
No, I like both of those versions of the Master.
Yeah, I feel
they're
like
excellent. And
yeah.
Watching him interact for a minute was great until they started talking about when like John Sim wanted to like boink her. That was disgusting. That made me so uncomfortable.
Isn't that masturbation technically?
I was gonna say it would be great if the doctor could say like go fuck yourself. Because then John Sim would be like,
Yeah, they just give that quick look to each other and be like, not literally. You know, because that would happen.
And can we point out, I mean, it's a spoiler, but it was also really shitty that they decided that that was the moment where we're going to kill off the Master. How can
for
you
now,
do that?
For now. We know at some point they're probably going to bring the Master back.
And it better be John Sim.
I
demand crazy genocidal John Sim versus Jodie Whittaker.
I would love to see that. I really would. But if anything, I probably think they're going to bring Michelle Gomez back as Missy.
Those two together would also be fine.
I would actually love to see them more like a buddy cop movie. I mean, not like, you know, because they're cops.
Well,
or
they were kind of already doing that with Capaldi.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying kick that into full gear.
Oh, okay.
With Whittaker. That just seems like the best way to go.
I think it would have been great if they made her like a temporary companion for like four episodes.
Thelma and Louise all over the galaxy. That would have been pretty
legit. That
would have
been pretty dope.
I would have.
Again, BBC, if you want our resumes.
Right.
Like,
I mean, yeah. Get at us. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So settings, what do we want to give it? We want to give it an 18?
I'll go 18.
18?
18 right, on 18. Settings for sure.
All right. So next category, was the Doctor effective in this episode? Yes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, first the question is, which one? And which one, yes.
They were both effective in different ways.
Yes. I will say this much. One of the worst things I've heard from this camp about, you know, why is Doctor Who a woman now, blah, 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 actually came after the initial release of this episode.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know why.
She's only like, in it for 15 seconds.
I know, but it was like, you know that they were going to fucking take pot shots at her, you know, because fucking people are the worst.
My only complaint.
It's the worst because, you know, obviously she's like, she regenerates. She just. All right. So, all right, spoiler alert. Jodie Whittaker is in the last couple minutes.
You knew that was coming.
I mean, come on. If you like, I'll put a spoiler warning on this, but I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious. Who doesn't know this at this point, right? All right. So I saw the I saw, you know, people talking about it online, and I was scrolling through the comments on Reddit, and some random mouth breather just like fucking was like trashing the end. Like, it's like, oh, it's like right when Jodie Whittaker flips the switch and then the fucking TARDIS starts going out of control and everything. And it's like, this is why women can't drive. I'm like, fuck you.
I mean,
don't you fucking dare.
That's funny.
No, it's not.
Listen, that's the right place to make that joke.
No.
If you're making it in a joking fashion, you don't actually mean it.
I think
I'm not saying this guy, I'm not trying to defend this guy. But I would make that joke even though I'm not a sexist asshole.
Yeah, but
that's what you look
it doesn't
at the camera,
help you.
You almost have like a nice.
I love it. It never helps your case when you have to preface it with like, I'm not a sexist asshole.
I'm not though. But also, I know
you're not. But anybody listening would be like, that's kind of shitty, dude.
No, you just need it like your 1920 voice, like, ah, oh, you let her drive the car one time.
Ah, this is what happens when you let women drive and have the vote. Ugh. Goddamn 1920s mentality. We left them in the 1910s. Let's not bring this shit back.
I'm sorry that even though the guy's an asshole, but that joke is funny.
No. Stop it.
You let her drive one time and look what happened.
No. All right, anyway. So
and she lost the car.
Stop it. You're going to hell. Hell, I tell you. Anyway.
I'm done.
Yeah, please be done. Anyway. So, no, I feel like Capaldi was, you know, I would say he's back in full swing again. I think David Bradley stole the show as the first Doctor.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
Capaldi
was,
never lost his groove. He's never lost his groove.
Okay.
I love him as the 12th Doctor.
As the 12th Doctor. I'm not blaming his, again, like you said, they're lackluster episodes. And honestly, Capaldi can only do so much if, you know, the writing's poor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
very
what I'm
true.
Saying.
Very true.
I'm just saying Capaldi was back in full form. I enjoyed him in this episode.
Big time.
Yeah, I enjoyed David Bradley in this episode. The second and a half Jodie Whittaker was in the episode, I enjoyed her.
Oh yeah, her entrance was perfect.
Yeah.
Although I would have liked something kind of like, I would have liked a Matt Smith type of funny.
Yeah, I will say this much. Okay, so going back to special effects, the portion we're talking about is when...
the inevitable TARDIS.
Spoiler alert, Jodie Whittaker flips a switch, the TARDIS starts fucking around, and she inevitably falls out of it, so it starts going off. And,
which has never happened before.
No, they've never... Like, the Doctor has never been flung out of the TARDIS.
Like, after the regeneration, the TARDIS always goes wonky and crashes because of the connection it has with the Doctor. So you know it's coming, but when she fell out of it and then it blew up on the inside and disappeared, I was like, what the shit?
Mm-hmm.
But the special effects were lacking. Yeah, really bad there.
As she's falling down, you see this shot of her, like, reaching up towards, like, oh, no. But, like, the whole special effects scene, like, the city moving around, it's like, oh, I fucking see this. I see the seams. God damn it.
No, it was... There was much to be desired is the best way that
there was a lot that could have been better.
No, I completely agree. That's why the special effects lost some points for us there, is because it just felt like something... Here, I can actually recreate it for you right now. Hang on a second. Okay, so this is the finale. Ah, fire. Oh, it's gone. Basically look like that.
BBC, get at us. That took us 10 seconds in an iPhone. Shit. I'm sorry, an Android. Whatever.
I do not have an iPhone. How dare you?
Anyway, think different, Zach. Delete.
Hey, the box is there for a reason. I like thinking inside of it.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anyway. All right, so was the Doctor effective out of 20? What would you say? I'd say 20. The Doctor was...
Plus, anytime there's more than one Doctor in any capacity, it's always great.
They're always on point.
It's always great.
They're always on point. All right. Gadgets. There wasn't really
that
many.
Would you count what's her name as a gadget? I just lost the name.
The Bill.
No. The people that brought Bill back. The place.
Oh, the... shit. What are they called? Testimony. The testimony. There it is.
I'm awful with the names. I'm a noob.
No. It's okay. I honestly,
Testimony's a big gadget.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say like that they're clockwork people, they're glass people, but even then they sort of like dissipate and they're made of memories, which
is interesting.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'd give them 9 out of 10.
I can give them 9 out of 10. That's
all right.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, them alone. I mean, plus, you know, you had the TARDISes.
The TARDI.
TARDI?
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
TARDISes.
TARDISes, whatever.
TARDISes.
TARDISes. It doesn't sound good either way. It's just, TARDIS is cool. Trying to pluralize. Pluralize? Is it? That's a word. Words?
All you, man.
Words are
I dare
hard.
Not. I don't want to be wrong, too, so I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah, just go ahead and throw me under the bus. It's fine.
Sorry.
Techno babble. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Out of 10 gadgets out of 10,
yeah.
I give it an 8.
Sure, I go 8.
All right.
8 makes sense.
All right, techno babble. So much techno babble.
There were some eye-rolly moments this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be expected. Doctor Who is like kind of like the show when it comes to... All right, we need to explain this certain cosmological phenomenon, and I don't know how to fucking do it, so we're just going to wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey it.
No, legit.
Like,
it's like that scene in Thank You for Smoking. All you have to do is say, thank God for the whatever device.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
That's literally Doctor Who's entire show is built around thank God for the whatever device.
I mean, I love the line. What was it? It's like a hypertemporal like loop or something or other. It's like, what's that? It's like, I don't know. It sounded good. I just didn't want to say a magic door. I was like, literally, that's Doctor Who in a single line.
This one did have some mega techno babble. Sitting there watching. I was just like, Jesus Christ.
The problem is there are more than one Doctor, so you know it's gonna get bad.
It went everywhere.
It's like Geordi. It's like if the Enterprise was just staffed by Geordi. Sean knows what I'm talking about.
Oh God, that'd be hideous.
Anyway, so techno babble out of
techno babble. I'm gonna give it a low score. Or wait, are you supposed to score?
So
if there's a lot of it.
Yeah, I would say this is like a golf score. The lower you are, the better it is. So techno babble. I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10.
I'm gonna give it a 10. It was too much.
A 10 out of 10.
You got way too much of that shit.
You gotta get a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right. So all right. I'm gonna quickly add up the scores. Zach, while I am doing that, why don't you tell the good people where they can find you on the interwebs, or tell them about your shows?
Oh, I'm the host of a movie podcast called Post Credit Podcast. We now go out once every 2 weeks. A lot of ranty, a lot of ravey, timey-wimey. sorry, that was lame.
Nah, that's pretty good.
I also do a lot of blogging on the Castwave blog. I put out one blog a week. It's usually a rant of some sort, but there's movie reviews in there that go into more detail. And a lot of points of discussion. I just posted a blog about how I feel about the modern movie trailer.
Yeah, I did see that, and you not too keen.
I think the points were well stated, minus my ranting and yelling.
I didn't say they weren't.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
But yes, it was a rant.
No, it definitely was.
But that's where you'll find me mostly, and occasionally on BGN. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's probably the best I got.
And also, you can find us on CastWaveStudios.com. You can find Zach's rantings and ravings on CastWaveStudios.com. Our blog section's pretty well outlined there.
Yes.
Also, if you're interested in shopping on Amazon and you want to kick a little extra scratch our way, but at no extra cost to you, please remember you can always go to www.castwavestudios.com/Amazon.
It sounded so like a TV with no what? Extra cost to you.
Oh, also, yes, thank you, Sean, for reminding us. You know, those of you who don't know, Sean's sitting
over
there.
There.
Yeah. Say hi, Sean.
Hi.
Yeah. So, Sean's
Game Boy.
Yeah. Sean's been our producer on this episode because you know he was eating his chicken dinner
and fried chicken and playing Zelda.
Zelda. Yeah. He's very happy about that. Yeah.
I like chicken.
All right. So I'm almost done.
It should be illegal to not like chicken.
Would you like a jelly baby?
You know.
Would you like a jelly baby?
I love jelly babies.
Not to go off topic, but that made me think of something.
What?
Have you read the comic, the Doctor Who Star Trek Next Generation crossover?
I have not.
You have to.
The IDW crossover?
Yes, because mm-hmm. it's the ultimate villain team-up, man. It's the Borg team-up with the Cybermen.
Is that really the ultimate team-up?
As far as crossing over who and...
I'd be more worried about the Borg teaming up with the Daleks.
They would never do that.
I'm just saying it would never happen. That's what I'm saying.
It's because they both have the same decree in, you know, upgrading versus assimilation, but it's still the same thing. So those two together, it's fucked.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fucked.
It's a great read though. There's some appearances and characters that you don't expect to see that you'll see and you'll be like, holy shit. It's great.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, unrelated.
No,
ADD
no, no. You're
moment.
Fine. You're fine.
It's one of my favorite Doctor Who pieces of fiction.
No, all right. So this episode comes in at an 86 out of 100, which gives it a B+ rating.
Hey,
all right, B+.
Yeah, it's deserved.
No, it's deserved.
It's deserved.
It's you know what? I remember when we were doing the first the first rating of like one of the old episodes. I remember, I think it was an Unearthly Child. An Unearthly Child, the very first Doctor Who serial, got like an F rating. Because we were just like, you know, it's not
that harsh.
Well, it's just, you know, because it's one set. Again, it was more a product of it's more a product of its time.
Okay.
But I mean, like, the writing is solid.
Yes.
The acting is okay. Like, William Hartnell's good. But, you know, again, you're pulling most theater actors onto cheaply made sets.
You had to be there.
You had to be there, and
it's
you had
really
to,
the best way that you can.
Like, yeah, we've had so many better episodes of Doctor Who at this point. It's like we're kind of spoiled for choice, and thus, as a result, going back and watching the really old stuff, it's just like, this is okay. I mean, I could be watching something better, but you know, I have to wait for this Hot Pocket to eat up. So, yeah. I don't know. Anyway. So this got an 86 out of 100, which, again, I'm with
so
Zach.
Deserved.
Well deserved.
And I can't wait to see Jody's doctor.
Yes. Fall, Jodie Whittaker. I mean, that's going to be our next like big string of shows. I think we're going to do a few here and there between now and then. But I feel like we're going to come back in full force once the new season starts.
Yeah. And there will be a lot to talk about.
Oh,
for sure.
God, yes. I mean.
You know there will be.
I'm excited for Jodie. You know what I want to see? All right, so, okay. Let's close out with what we want to see out of this next season of The Doctor.
Well, I'm already excited because she's got a group of companions.
Mm-hmm.
She's got like three companions with her, which I love because mm-hmm. I've always been – I grow kind of tired of the whole one-on-one thing. So it was nice when Amy and Rory were there, but this is now three companions plus Jodie's doctor, which will be amazing.
Yep.
I want to see her tackle the Daleks.
Okay. I can see that.
I definitely want that. I want her to meet at least one other doctor.
Okay, so who would you want to see in this one? Because we've seen Bradley. So Bradley's obviously a major contender. And God help us if he's still pulling the same shit that he pulled in twice, the Christmas
special.
Oh,
like if he meets her again?
And he's a woman now? He's like, dear God, what happened?
Even though 10 is my favorite, I think the ultimate doctor pairing with Jodie would be 11. That'd be funny as shit.
Okay. Who would I want to see? Well, doctor-wise, I would say if I got to pull one of the modern doctors, I'd probably go... That's a tough one. I don't know. I feel like going with 10 would be the best option because Tennant and her have chemistry after working on Broadchurch. Yeah. I think – you know who I would really want to see on this? Jack Harkness.
Jack Harkness.
Because
– oh, and River.
A love triangle. Oh, snap. BBC, get at us.
I want – River has to meet her. River has to already know about her.
Oh, my God. Because
you know just River walking in and seeing her going, we're at the fun part. Okay.
Oh, my God. I know. And that's the thing. It's like we don't – oh, man. Oh, geez. I want to – okay. Seriously.
River has to meet
her. I mean, BBC, seriously, if you don't get at us about this, fine. But come on. You got to make this happen. That's
– Now is the time to bring Jack back, and you have to bring River in for a minute.
Come and knock on our door. We'll be waiting for you. Three's Company.
I'm aware.
Three's Company, too. Yeah. So that's going to wrap up this episode. Zach, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
I would say if any of you are interested in seeing us, review old episodes of Doctor Who or, modern episodes of Doctor Who in the interim, in the lead up to this next season, we're definitely down for doing that. You can hit us up in the comments. Another thing is February 24th through 26th, I want to say. Let me look at the calendar. Good sir. No, it's March. I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus Christ. That was way off.
Yeah, I think you were off by a month.
Oh, shit. Shit.
But I didn't want to step on your moment.
Yeah, right. Here we go. Sorry. So February 23rd through February 25th is going to be Regeneration Who in Hunt Valley, in Baltimore, actually. Yes, Baltimore. I'm really excited about that because Peter Capaldi's going to be there. Colin Baker's going to be there.
Oh, you said February again.
Did I say that? Fuck.
March.
Sorry, guys. March. Wow, I am all sorts of out of it today. Anyway, so Capaldi's going to be there. One of the few East Coast cons he's been to thus far.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of meeting Peter Capaldi, and he is the nicest, coolest guy.
So we've got Capaldi. We've got Michelle Gomez. We've got...
I would love to meet her. I wish I could go.
Who else is going? There's a couple other people going. Is Davidson going?
Davidson is going.
Yeah. And then Colin Baker's going. And
yes, they always go. It's great.
Rachel Talley, who actually did the Twice in a Lifetime episode, the director.
Oh, Twice Upon a Time?
Is going to – I'm sorry. I said Twice in a Lifetime. Yes. Yes, she will be there as well.
And she directed that episode?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I know, right? Now you're wishing you are going.
Well, I got to go to AwesomeCon, man. I'm going to meet Arrow.
Yeah, I know, but still, you could go.
No, I can only pick one.
No.
Money.
No.
Money is the thing.
Money is – who is forever? Money is
– I've already met four doctors.
All right, well, we're going to have a talk after we get off this episode. But thank you again for joining us, and remember – it's not me. It's not you. It's Impromptu Who. I got to come up with a better fucking closing
line. No, that's the best line ever. Do it one more time.
It's not me. It's not you. It's Impromptu
Who. Come on. That's awesome.
Okay, fair enough.
That's 5-star shit right there.
Thank you. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you later.